and welcome all agents, trainers, Pikmin bloomers, ballers, lightship pilots, eighth wall advertisers, and our beloved explorers and wayfinders. Thank you for choosing the Wayspotters podcast. This is episode 68 of the Wayspotters podcast. We are recording this on Friday, April 28th. We got a great show planned for you this week. We're going to jump headfirst into Spain, talk about Spain because they won the Wayfarer Challenge. So I want to discuss that. And there was a comment left on our YouTube channel that I wanted to talk about. Before we get into all that, with me as always is Jamal. How's it going, Jamal?
I'm a troublemaker. I'm a bull in a china shop, and I'm breaking stuff. And everybody likes to tell me about it. But I like that. I like it.
I'm doing well. You've been stirring up some pots down there, huh?
Yeah, man. I've seen my name on the internet more in the last 2 weeks than I think I have in my entire life. That's probably a good thing. But hey, people are listening and I love it, and I love to interact with people, and hopefully I'm always respectful even if I disagree with you. But I appreciate the passion that the Wayfarer community has, and if I say something that you guys don't like, continue to comment and we'll talk about it. But I want to create some dialogue. If you think that I am telling people to break the criteria, I don't think I am, but tell me. Say, hey Jamal, you're wrong. And if you want to come on the show, come on the show. I'll have you on the show. Chris and I will have you on the show. And I'll be good and I'll be respectful. So, yeah, I'm doing well. It has been rainy but sunny in Charlotte. And I've nominated a whole lot of things. And I've had a whole lot of fun this last week, Chris. So, take it away.
Nice. Good. Good. Yeah, no, it's 100%. It's there's been a lot of dialogue this week. And I think a lot of it's been really, really good. GoFest was announced, so anybody going to New York GoFest, Jamal and I will be there in the park Saturday morning.
I
will be wearing my Wayspotters t-shirt.
I might wear this one. So I've got a couple different Wayspotters. I have this one. Yeah, I don't know which one I'll wear. I'll be wearing a Wayspotters t-shirt also.
Yeah, absolutely. Come find us, say hi. I know it's not until August, and we'll talk about it again probably in another show, but yeah. Oh yeah, it's good. It's good dialogue this week, and we're going to talk about that YouTube comment that was left on there later in the show. But first, I want to jump into Spain. España.
Yay. All right, let's go. Topic number one.
I posted in the Wayfarer forum asking for reviewers and explorers in Spain to say, hey, help us out, because we talked about this last week and we talked about it with the Indonesia challenge. There was a lot of stuff that was culturally different in Indonesia that I think threw a lot of reviewers for a loop and probably didn't do Indonesia the justice that it deserved, right? So I wanted to say, hey, people in Spain, people who have been to Spain, people know Spain, let us know, give us some examples of some stuff that might trip people up.
Right. Because in Indonesia, it tripped me up a lot. I didn't really know what I was looking at.
Yeah.
So I was trying to do my best. But if I had some type of guide or something that told me that this is what a mosque looks like, or this is, you know, those archways they had, like, I didn't know what quite to do. But if someone had said, hey, Jamal, this is culturally important in our culture, I would have known. But I was a little lost. So, Chris, I'm glad you put this on the forums and did this. This is awesome.
Yeah, it's because it was a little bit selfish on my part, to be honest with you. But I wanted to make sure that we had a way to kind of help the community. And boy, howdy, did they respond.
They sure did. You want me to pull up what we have? Did.
Yes, please. So I have some examples of some, mostly from one person, but there's a lot of good discussion in there. And there's a couple of things that came up that I wanted to talk about that I think people need to pay attention to. So user VOP020506 posted almost immediately. I don't think that the post was up there for an hour before they had curated a large number of pictures, and it was fantastic. It was a great post.
Yeah. So what are we looking at here? Because I was a little, walk me through this.
So this was the first example that they posted, and I think this is exactly what I was talking about. This is, it looks like a green painted wall beside kind of like a road that's going uphill.
Mm-hmm. Looks like a green screen wall.
It kind of looks like a green screen wall. There's one on the left. It's kind of angled. And then there's a big square one at the back, right? So to me, this looks like nothing. But apparently, this is very common in small little villages, mm-hmm. mostly beside churches, using the walls of churches, using the walls of buildings and stuff. And it's used for sports, kind of like the tennis one that you hit, squash.
Squash. Yeah. I've never played squash, but I know of squash.
Me either, right? So that is something that is good for exercise. And like, if I had to come across this, I don't know if I would have, just depending on the supporting information and stuff, I don't know that I would have been like, my first reaction is not really, but now that I know, mm-hmm. this is good for exercise, right? So
it's probably a good place to gather also, right? If it's a sports ball, I'll use that term. So you kind of gather there and say, hey, do you want to play a game? I don't know quite how that manifests itself, but
yep.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. So next one. This is another thing that's very, very common in Spain is picnic areas. This is something that we struggle with in North America too.
Right. You want to explain for the audio listeners what the video viewers are seeing?
So this is it looks like a stone picnic table that is very much anchored into the ground. In the background, you can see heavy. Probably very heavy. Yeah, exactly. There's another one off in the distance that you can see. So this is definitely an area that has multiple picnic tables. This is another thing. It promotes exploration. It promotes socialization. This is the park benches on paths are this kind of the same example, right? Mm-hmm. Some place to rest while you're on a hike. So, Vop said that this is very, very common. So I wanted to kind of highlight this one too, because just random picnic tables sometimes have a hard time getting through, but this is very permanent, very definitely something that is eligible.
Right. Yep. Awesome. I love that. And, you know, I've kind of joked before about picnic benches and what's a few meters between friends and, you know, but I think this is a really good example of something that, like you said, in North America, we struggle with this. I don't know if you guys struggle with mm-hmm. it as much as we do in the US, but we struggle with picnic benches because they are very mobile. And, you know, me and Heracross Boss could pick one up and move it, you know, a few meters. Haven't done that mm-hmm. because I don't like to lift things other than my voice. But you know, that is something that is good for the waist spotters to know. This is very helpful, man. I'm really enjoying this. What's our next one?
Our next one is, and this is the one I think might trip up some people. There are a lot of these. So this is, for the audio listeners, this is, it looks like one of those old, very old house crests mm-hmm. with the four symbols on it. And there's a helmet at the top. And a nice little face at the bottom. It's very, very decorative. Very, very old. Looks like it's made out of clay. Mm-hmm. And it's on the side of a building. So apparently this is super common in Spain. They're all over the place.
Would you equate these to like post boxes, like the King George post boxes in the UK, if we're drawing a comparison?
Kind of, yeah. A little bit. I think the thing that might trip people up is that some of these are are attached to a private residence, right? Mm-hmm. So I wanted to highlight this one to talk about, because there's a big discussion in that thread about what's private property and what's not private property, right? So if it's on the side of a building that's multi-residence, like an apartment building mm-hmm. or like a hostel or something like that, it's 100% eligible.
Okay. Right?
Because that's not private property, because it's a multi-unit. But if it's on the side of someone's house,
like a single family home or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I think that's what something that a lot of people struggle with is, well, this building is 250 years old and George Washington lived there.
Like, right.
That's great, but it's a single family home and it's not eligible. Like, sorry.
Right. Yeah.
So I wanted to make sure that people are, because these are all over the place in Spain. There was, I went and looked Like, I Googled this, and there's hundreds of them. Like, right? So
gotcha.
I wanted to make sure that people are paying attention to the private residence, but also saying, like I said, it's do a little bit of research, move the Google car around, make sure if it's multi-unit, then it's okay.
Speaking of the Google car, when we're done with this, I want to tell a little story about the Google car and some of the social media interaction this week. So leave me some time for that.
Yes, I remember you telling me about that. Absolutely. What do we got next? Next is a same thing along the lines of what we were just talking about. This is, it looks like a little baby doll face.
Yeah, that's a little creepy. It's
a little creepy. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. It's a stone, little stone baby face, baby doll face on the side of a drainage pipe. So these are apparently all over Spain too. So.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I struggle with that one or not. I mean, it is what it is, but like, I don't think there's any way in, at least in my area, that anything on a drainage pipe would go through. Someone would mark that as like something. Now from the comments, these are very common, correct? Like all over the country, these are all over there. So when you were looking for suggestions, it wasn't of suggestion of what should or shouldn't go in the game. It was a suggestion of what are reviewers more likely to see in Spain, correct? Okay, I just wanted to get that clarified for people. So
I'm not, 100%. I'm not sure that this is necessarily eligible, but there are ones, according to some of the comments, that are more intricate and more detailed than this that might be kind of, that would pass that, this is interesting barrier.
Gotcha.
Not necessarily this one in particular.
Gotcha. Well, and then for the audio listener, so it's a picture of a baby face on a drainage pipe, and it's like it looks like two different types of composites of material, with the bottom part of the composite being older, you know, a couple hundred years old, and it's got a carved face in gray on it, and then the upper part of the pipe that goes into the pipe looks to be newer, and in the background you see the kind of historical stucco that you would normally associate with Spain and Spanish culture. But now where I would get a little confused with this, Chris, is if I was in Spain as a tourist and I'm a wayfinder, I might think, wow, this is really interesting, and I'd submit it as a wayspot if it's, you know, in an open cell. But someone who's a Spaniard and who lives there would be like, nah, these are like everywhere and I would never nominate it. So I don't know how you resolve that as to what a tourist might do. Someone who's there and saying, hey, this is an open area, let me nominate it, versus someone who lives there. So I don't know if you have a thought on that or not.
Yeah, I think I'm on the same page there. It'd be interesting to see how often that shows up. Kind of something like this shows up in our reviews. And I think what's going to happen is we're going to have a whole bunch of people in Spain rushing to put everything that they possibly can in ahead of the challenge to try and get as much stuff through, right? So we got to be leery.
Right.
I always review to approve, but
Not every nomination is a good nomination.
Not exactly.
some people reminded me that this week on Twitter. I'm like, you know what? You're right. Not every nomination is a good nomination.
Yeah.
Because something's in the game now doesn't mean it's going to go in the game in the future. So you guys. Yeah. I hear you. I understand.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later. All right. What do we got next? Next is, I thought this one was super interesting. This is a thing on a, it's so for the audio listeners, it is a little bit of a metal structure sticking out of the ground. It looks like it's in a little bit of a dugout hole. There's a circle around it where you could tell that there used to be a well, but it's been filled in. There's some metal sticking out of it. It's not overly interesting itself, but this apparently used to be something that was used to water the orchards that were in that area.
Interesting.
So instead of removing it, they've just kind of filled in the well, left a little bit of the structure there as a monument to the past where this used to be a giant orchard.
Right.
Right. So I thought it was interesting as something that was kind of historical and a callback to what that area used to be and what the people in that area used to do. So I thought it was pretty interesting, right? So, but like just looking at it, you wouldn't know that.
Gotcha. So I think the lesson here, at least for me, is the nominator would need to explain that very well so that, because if I'm looking at this, I'm not really sure what I'm looking at. Like not being from Spain, someone would have to explain kind of the throwback to the old school days in order for me to understand. Because when I look at that for the audio listeners, it's I don't know what I'm looking at, and I don't know if it's eligible.
Yep. Yeah. No. 100%. Absolutely. And I have a little bit of a speech for the people in Spain when we're done all this. So, because they're definitely going to need to do some explaining, and make sure that they're selling us on their nominations.
Gotcha.
Because it's a lot of stuff that don't listen. There's a lot of people who are going to be reviewing who don't listen to us and who will never see this thread. So
wait, there's people that don't listen to us?
It's hard to believe.
No way. Are you serious? It's hard to believe. Wow.
It's like one or two
every
people,
every wayfinder out there. Yeah, maybe one or two. All right. No, this is helpful, man. This is helpful. So for people who are watching us on YouTube or TikTok or Instagram or wherever you're seeing this, yes, this is very helpful for me personally. I'm looking forward to it. So I think there's more than just the language barrier. There's a cultural barrier. Yes. Like Chris has been talking about some things like this in North America, people would probably say it's not eligible, but you know, there's some things in North America that people in Europe would say that's not eligible also. So awesome.
Absolutely.
Do you have one more?
All right. I have two more, but they're both kind of the same. So
okay.
This is also very common in Spain. There's a lot of hiking paths and a lot of biking paths in Spain. So this one came up, so this is trail markers. So what we're looking at is it's a post and it looks like it's a post kind of at an intersection and it's got four different direction signs to four different hiking paths with the destinations written on there, how far away it is on the sign. There's three red ones and then a green one for the biking path. This is very common, apparently, in Spain. So, and as Niantic has said, trail markers, they're definitely eligible, right? So this is a good one because it's got four different directions that you can go off on a hike.
I love this. I think this is a really good one. And I think the angle they took the picture from, so they're kind of looking at it at an upward angle, like someone is crouching down or maybe sitting on the ground looking up at it. They get the entire, all of the trail markers that are pointing in each way, and they get the post that's kind of supporting it in the back with the blue sky and some trees in the back. It's a really cool picture. I would love to get a gift from this and spend the photo disc or hack it. It's really cool. So, you know, this might be one of those things where if you're in Spain, you're like, man, there's one of these on every other corner, and those are not unique anymore. But, you know, it's kind of in the eye of the beholder. I look at this and I say, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's a great, great picture. But yeah, so hiking trails, there's a lot of them out there. And then there is, last one I've got, is another trail marker. Looks like towards the side of a road. And it kind of looks like a street sign. So it's kind of basic, but this is one of those trail markers that they've posted for us. So it's just a white and yellow sign with an arrow at the end. And that's the direction of the bike path it's going, right? So some of those trail markers and those biking path markers might look a little bit plain, but they are trail markers and they're trail markers. Bike trail markers, right? So they're
man, the countryside, doesn't that just look cool? Like,
it's gorgeous.
It's so good. It's so good. If you're listening to this on Google Podcasts or Anchor or Spotify or wherever you're listening to us, pop over to our YouTube channel and just take a quick little peek at some of these pictures. Like, Spain is absolutely gorgeous. It's on my bucket list. I am looking forward to this challenge so much, just so I can like dream and say, hey, I'm going to be there someday. You know, I'm starting to rethink my choice of going to the Dominican Republic next month and maybe go to Spain, but it would be significantly more expensive to go to Europe than it would be to go to the DR. But this is awesome. Like, I love this. This is going to be so much fun. And it was kind of like I had fun in Indonesia, but I am just so unfamiliar with everything Indonesian. And the language barrier was so great that, you know, I didn't enjoy it as much as I think I'm going to enjoy Spain.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I am so looking forward to seeing a lot of the different sites in Spain and the great pictures that are going to come for the great way spots. I'm super excited, super excited. So one thing that I wanted to mention, Spanish explorers, please, please, please polish your nominations. Go into all of your contributions, anything that's outstanding. Go in, fix your spelling mistakes, go into your supporting information and put as much information in there as you can. Sell us on the nomination and remember that it's not people in your area who are going to be reviewing this stuff. It's people from around the globe. So if it's culturally relevant there and you think that it's not culturally relevant somewhere else, explain that to us. Mm-hmm. Let us know. Help yourself.
Yes. Tell us why.
Tell us why, because if it's close and people are just like, well, you're not even trying, then I'm just going to one star you, right? But if you've put some effort in, people are more inclined to give your nomination a chance.
Right. Now, Chris, do you want to remind the listeners of what Niantic said they were going to do for this challenge, if it was going to be total number accepted or total number reviewed?
I think they're going to go with total number reviewed. I don't think they've actually made an official announcement yet, but they switched it last time halfway through to go from total accepted to total reviewed.
Which I think was the right thing to do. I believe that was the right thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause there was a lot of coal in Indonesia.
Right.
And a lot of stuff that ended up getting rejected. Right. So I think I think that's the better way to go, because it incentivizes people to do what they're supposed to. Right. Not necessarily say, hey, I'm just going to approve everything.
Right.
And hope I get, right? And that way you might actually get some stuff that slipped through that's not supposed to.
Because at the beginning of the Indonesian challenge, people were talking about it on Twitter and other places that they were trying to really be extremely lenient because they wanted to get the prize, where they felt that, you know, they shouldn't do it because it wasn't eligible. But they were like, I'm incentivized to review it and accept it as opposed to just review it. So. And then what did Niantic say about the prizes? Are we doing the same prizes again as we did last time?
They haven't announced it yet.
Yeah. I'm wondering about
that. So
I think the slate of prizes they did was good. It was. I enjoyed the prizes.
I think they were good prizes. I think, and maybe you can help me out with this, I think that the Ingress prizes were a little bit better than the
Togo
prizes.
Oh, for sure.
So As someone who is not level 10 in Ingress and is eligible for the prizes in Pogo, I would like them to beef up the Pogo ones a little bit.
You know,
but yeah, I wasn't displeased.
The prizes in Ingress, the prizes in Ingress actually prompted me to get out and play more Ingress. So
there you go.
Yeah, it was good. And if you want a full breakdown of that, Chris, reach out to our executive producer, Kate DeCons. She's been given quite the Ingress lesson in our little chat. And I went out and did some microfielding the other day and some couple other things. I'm going to get to 16. Like, I'm 9 million AP. AP is the equivalent to XP in Pokemon Go. I'm like 9 million. While I'm looking here, I'm a little over 9 million into the 16 million that I need. So I need just under 6.5 million AP, which sounds like a lot, and it is a lot, but it can be done. I just need to get out there and like go blow up some blue factions and, you know, go link up. So I'm 9.7 million into my 16 million AP. So I can do this. And I just think once we finish this challenge and I get some rewards from this, I'm going to go out and finish it. And maybe I'll do a screen share of when I finally do recurse and I get there. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, I am. So I just looked. I am 508,000 into the 600,000 I need for level 8.
Okay.
So right. I'm getting this. Yeah, but yeah, Kate sent me a bunch of codes and some of them worked. And I got some really good stuff. I actually had to dump stuff out of my inventory to make room for some better stuff. So, Kate, thank you.
Yes.
By the way.
Oh, my inventory is a hot mess. My inventory is always a hot mess. I'm at 1,929 of 2,000. I'm always
having to dump stuff. Yeah, I'm at 1,921 right now.
Yeah, it's a hot mess right now. So, you know. All right.
So, yeah, that is Spain. And once they do announce the more details on that, we will let everybody know. If not immediately.
We may even do a short about it.
We might even do a short about it. Oh, 100% we'll do a short about it. it'll be all over our socials. I'll do a short about it, Jamal.
Dude, one of us will do it. People love what you're doing as far as YouTube and TikTok. Like, people are watching these videos. Like,
yeah,
thank you.
It's good.
Like, we're getting like 3,000 views on these TikTok videos and these shorts. Like, thank you guys. Like, that's amazing. Like, we kind of went out on a leap of faith and said, you know, we're going to do video. And Chris came on the podcast, and when he and I had kind of our production meetings, we said we want to prioritize video. Had no idea if you all out there would look at it. And like, it's been overwhelming, and we haven't done a whole lot of promotion. It's just been kind of like throw it out on the internet, mm-hmm. put it on Twitter and see if people will watch it. And you guys are watching in droves. So we're going to continue to do it. You know, just kind of some behind the scenes. My dad jokes seem to do better on YouTube than they do on TikTok. So
yeah, your last dad joke video did really well on YouTube.
Yeah. So I think this week, when the dad jokes that we have for this episode, I'll put it on both, but I think I'll start uploading more and putting them on YouTube on the reels, because I got it down, man. I'm good. I got it down to 59 seconds, and it's like there. And then like people are watching it, and I'm getting comments from people like, oh, these are funny. Yeah. Or can you put this one in there? And I'm like, yeah, I can put that. I'm getting suggestions from people on dad jokes. And my wife just gives me the biggest eye roll. She's like, just because people are watching your videos doesn't mean it's funny. And I'm like, that's exactly what it means, is that it's funny. That's
exactly right? What it means.
If 3,000 people are watching my dad joke video in like 36 hours, I'm funny. It's official.
That's funny.
You know,
people love the dad jokes.
They love the dad.
And it's good too, because we've gotten some people who don't listen to the audio podcast, who are watching the video one, because that's the medium that they prefer, right? Yeah. So the audio is never going to go away.
Nope.
For all of you who are audio only, trust me, we will do this every single week. We got you. But yeah, we want to branch out and bring more people into
meet you out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, speaking of meeting you out good. There, yeah. Speaking of meeting you out there, and speaking of YouTube, we are going to be regularly or irregularly—I don't know—depends—but reading comments that we get from various mediums across all of our social platforms. So, Chris, I know you've been really excited to talk about this. So, I want to just shut my mouth and let you go on this, because I'm excited to hear what you have to say about it.
Okay, so we had Fred Roberts had never watched a video of ours before. I don't think they'd ever listened to our audio podcast before. But in last week's episode, I used the hashtag #HearUsNiantic in the description of the YouTube. And we got some people who were first-time watchers, first-time listeners. Mm-hmm. So he wrote us a very lengthy comment, and I wanted to talk about it.
Okay.
So I'm going to read the comment. If you want to go and read it yourself, it's in the comments of last week's YouTube episode. So Fred says, haven't watched your videos before, but watched because of my interest in the hashtag #HearUsNiantic movement, as well as finding Niantic's stance unacceptable. Your arguments against the movement miss the point, I think. It's not only about rural or handicapped players, though that is part of it. It's about the player base who may not have time because of family, work, etc., to join raids in person, etc. So your dismissal in this part is too simple. The other claim is that the Heeris Niantic proponents are rejecting acceptable way spots. Where do you get your information? You don't know this. It could just be as easily be the pro-Niantic faction that is driving rejections. I myself have done a fair part in nominating stops in my suburban area, often having to get them accepted on appeal. In addition, I frequently visit a rural area in Poland each time submit nominations, only to have them rejected just as harshly as at home. Nevertheless, I managed to get 5 way spots, 2 of which became gyms, in place over 3.5 years. I feel like I'm putting a lot of unappreciated effort for a company that doesn't care about its player base. That's the number one issue here. Of course, they can do what they want, but there are consequences to a lot, and it's not listening to people playing the game. I have 7,000 way spots reviewed with a rating of great. So, first of all, great. That's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. That's awesome.
Thank you very much.
Yes. First, it was Fred Roberts, right?
Fred Roberts, yeah.
Yeah. Dude, before we get into this, thank you. 7,000 is an amazing accomplishment.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how many you do, but you took the time to do 7,000. That's amazing, and that's awesome. Thank you, Fred.
That's great, yeah. It says that they've given up due to frustration with the system. I would encourage you to get back into it, to do our part and to do your part to help. But I can understand it does get frustrating sometimes. Mm-hmm. But they brought up a couple of points that I wanted to kind of clarify. By no means are we trying to say that we don't understand that this affects more than rural and disabled people.
You're personally
it does affect
affected.
People. I am 100%. I work afternoons, so I work 4 p.m. to midnight. So
you never get to do a raid
hours.
You can't do raid hours because you're working.
Sometimes I'm able to log in from my desk. Nobody's from work is listening. Sometimes I get to log in from my desk and I'll catch a couple of things for spotlight hour, but
we'll beep that part out.
Yeah. But trust me, when I say that I understand that this affects more than just rural and disabled people, and it affects people with schedules, I'm one of them, right? So this affects me directly. I used to do raid hours when I got home from work or before I went to work in other parts of the world, right? And mm-hmm. I can't really afford to do that right now, and which is, it is what it is. I've kind of accepted it. But trust me, we understand that it affects more than, but we can't, Wayfarer can't help those people.
Right.
Having more stops, having more gyms in your area doesn't affect you if you can't get there.
Right. If you're working or...
Right.
Something along those lines. There's nothing we can do. I think the point I was trying to make last week, Chris, was I get really frustrated sometimes when I feel that certain segments of the population are being used as kind of a pawn for something else.
Yes.
And that's kind of where I was going for. I got a little heated. I went on a rant and, you know, some people said you should do a rant every week. I don't know if I could do a rant. I could do a rant every week. I don't know if it would be good for everybody if I did a rant every week, but it just really struck me, and I got a little upset that, like, all of a sudden we're hearing about disabled trainers and rural trainers now, when really it's people who are mad because they can't get 20 Giratinas. They can only get 5 a day. You know, I really do, like, 100% want to support the rural trainers and the disabled trainers, and we put out a tweet that a lot of people saw that I said I will personally – get in the Google car and drive around mm-hmm. your area. And there's a couple of people that I'm working with right now. One, I don't want to say his name because or he or his or her name, because I didn't get their permission, but they're in rural Illinois. And I'm looking, and Chris, I sent you that screenshot of the screenshot they sent me, where it was like farmland and like a road going north and a road going east and west. And that was it.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, I'm going to have to get creative here. But, that person in rural Illinois, I'm looking all around the area trying to find things to nominate. And when I do, help you write mm-hmm. a description. And we meant that. We didn't just send out that tweet just to send out the tweet. Like, Chris and I mean that. If you're listening to us and you are disabled or in a rural area and want some help or want some suggestions, like, believe me, I don't have a whole lot of time, but I'm willing to lose a couple hours of sleep to stay up and do that. Like, we legit meant that. So,
yeah. Absolutely. And it's, I've taken to looking in the villages and stuff around me to find stuff to go nominate. And this weekend, I think I got about 30 that I'm going to go throw in little villages and stuff that are around me. And it's places that I'll probably never go again, but it's not about me. It's about getting into the game and helping people in that area. Right.
So Chris, I sent that video to our Discord of me out on the trail. I was out in the woods. Like, there's a lot of like woody area between like Charlotte and some of the suburbs, you know, just kind of that transition area, but there's lots of trails in there. And I was hiking in that trail, just getting bit by every bug imaginable. Mm. And I found this really cool notice board. You know what? Let me do this. Let me pull this up because I'm a little annoyed. Just a little bit.
Rightfully so.
Yes. So, you guys, so what I'm going to do for our audio listeners and or for our video listeners is I'm going to pull up a nomination that I found while I was out in the middle of nowhere, kind of searching around the forest. And I came across this. And so for the audio, so for the video, for the audio listeners, we will tweet this out or we will make this part of a short. We'll figure out some way for the audio people who are listening to the podcast to be able to see this, whether it's Twitter or Instagram or TikTok or whatever. But Chris, what you're looking at here, it's a community notice board and rest area at Hornets Nest Park. And if you notice, my titles and everything is good. Have you noticed that? Looks good.
Yep. Yep.
There's no duplicates. So what you're looking at here is there's three like community notice things where they put what's going on in the area. And this is kind of out in the middle. You can see in the background, there's kind of a clearing area and there's some stairs and you can come up and you can kind of sit down and take a rest. But these are community notice boards where it's like meeting here or park picnic or, you know, something like that that's on there. And then you can see here clearly it's in the green space. It's out in the middle of a park. And this is kind of a secondary view of it. So I was really like putting my money where my mouth was. And I was out in the middle of the woods, like putting in trail markers. And I came across this. So there's a bench here. I didn't nominate the bench before people kill me. There's stairs. And this is kind of a little platform. But it's a community notice board. It's places where the people from the Park Service kind of come in and put in what's going on in the park. And this is kind of at the end of the trailhead in the park where people can kind of walk around. And it got denied. It got denied. And it got denied for other rejection criteria and private property, which is really funny.
Private property.
When you look down, like this is clearly in a park. Like this is like 100% in a park and people can see the address right here. If they want to go and go find it, it's like legit in the middle of a park and it got denied. So, that kind of bummed me out a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I, you know, was just kind of sad. So I appealed it. Hope that Niantic will see that and on appeal, we'll add it because I think it 100% belongs to be in the game. I thought about just going back out there and resubmitting it. But I really want to see what happens on appeal, even if it takes longer. I think I could probably resubmit this and get this to go through. But this is more of a, I want to prove a point, and I want Niantic to see it and to see that, like, I was legit in an area where there's nothing there. You saw it on the map. There's nothing anywhere around it. And I'm submitting waste spots in, like, areas where there's nothing. So hopefully somebody will get a use out of it.
Yeah, and no, that's 100% eligible. Like it's the community board, and it's a lookout, right? So it promotes exploration, it promotes socialization. That's two of the three.
Great place to gather. It's got a bench to sit on, and eat your lunch, whatever it is. So. Well,
exercise by walking out there. Come on now.
Let me tell you. Like you saw the video. There was some exercise involved in that.
It's 100%. And that's very frustrating. I put two things in last week. They were, inside arenas. They were like inset into the wall.
Yeah.
And it was displays of, awards and jerseys and stuff for the local sports, groups. One was lacrosse, one was hockey. Both of them got rejected for being temporary. So, I understand it. Like once a year, they remove the awards plaques for the awards show, but then they go right back in there at the end of the day. So sure, it's temporary, 364 and a half days out of the year.
Right.
Like, come on. Right. So
yeah, come on, people. Come on, people. Come on, man.
I was gonna try and resubmit them, but the fact that both of them got rejected tells me that they're probably not gonna go through. So I'll just burn an appeal on them and then get them put in. So, but yeah, that's frustrating. I guess sometimes it's frustrating.
Well, do you want to close the loop on this Fred Roberts comment? Because I don't claim to know everything. And if I'm missing the mark when it comes to the way Fred looks at things, I get that. I'll take feedback.
Mm-hmm.
I was given my opinion of it. And I don't want anyone to be used as pawns, because I never hear anything about disabled people until this, or until the radius was taken into account. No one has seemed to care. And I shouldn't say no. I want to get this across the right way. There hasn't been a big outcry about rural or disabled trainers or people with social anxiety until this. Like, there's all kinds of other things that are talked about people, and it's a daily thing. And I just kind of feel like it was just way too convenient. Now, I'm not saying I don't disagree with you. I haven't taken a stand one way or the other on the Heroes Niantic, but I'm a realist, and I realize that Niantic is a company, and Niantic has a plan for what they want to do. And us trainers, us explorers, us Pikmin bloomers, eighth wall advertisers, whatever else, unless you work at Niantic, you don't know what their plan is. And I think we had like a real example of this, Chris. Remember when we had the guys from A Realm on?
Yep.
And I asked them, what are you going to do when you get to the crossroads of people want to play your game a certain way and you want them to play the game another way? And I went back and I listened to this, listened to that episode this week. And the example I gave, I think it was Anthony, the example I gave him was take it to Pokemon Go. You want people to go outside and walk around, and people want to play PvP all day. And you're like, I don't care if they play PvP, but I would prefer them out spinning and catching and doing this and doing that. And so you de-incentivize PvP to get people to go play it the way you want to play, and then people get upset. So, you know, and that was before the Heroes Niantic. That was just me asking him as a game developer. And I think the answer he gave was, is you have to listen to your community. But at the end of the day, if you're spending your blood, sweat, and tears on developing a game, you can't just stop midstream because a certain segment of the population wants you to take your game in a certain way. What if that way that the population wants you to take it into could potentially bankrupt your game and make it not viable long term? And you've got the roadmap, you've got the plan. So while I understand the Heroes Niantic movement, I think that, you know, something my dad told me a long time ago, and my dad passed away years ago, but I come across a lot of sayings. He says, Jamal, there's people that sign the front of the check, and there's people that sign the back of the check. He goes, I want you to think about, I want you to think like the person that signs the front of the check. And so that's how I've always thought. I've always tried to think of it at a higher level, at an enterprise level. Like, I'm signing the front of the check. I'm making the decisions. I'm making the calls. Some are going to be popular. Some are not. And I think that a lot of the Heroes Niantic people, and no disrespect, are thinking about people that sign the back of the check. So that's what I'll say on that, and I'll leave it
alone. Yeah. And so part of my reply to Fred was, our problem with the movement was where was the outrage for these players before? Remote raids were introduced on April 27th, 2020. Where was the movement before then? Silence. Because it didn't affect them, right? Mm-hmm. And as much as we can appreciate that this does affect a large number of the population, and there are a lot of people who got into Pokemon Go because remote raids were available, right? Mm-hmm. So we're not discounting that. We're not saying that you don't have a point. What we're trying to do is say, Niantic's going to do what they're going to do. They're not going to change their minds on this. We want to focus our energy and our ability on making the game more playable for the people who are disabled, for the people who have mobility issues, for the people who are in remote areas. We want to do our best to help those people to be able to play the game the way that Niantic wants the game to be played.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And this is this is the best way, like it or not, Wayfair is the best way to get that into the game to make that happen. Yeah, and a lot of people are just like, oh, how does it feel to be doing free work for a company that hates everyone? Be like, first of all, they don't hate everyone. They love us.
Right. Yeah.
They love a lot of people. And it's a passion for us. It's not about, it's not about doing it for Niantic. It's about doing it for the people who play the game. It's for the community.
Man, I've said this so many times. It's about having agency that I can affect where a POI goes. Like, that's huge.
Yeah.
I can't think of any other game, any otherwhere in the world, where I can decide Jamal Harvey, me, I can decide or have a hand in the decision that there needs to be a POI right there. And I can get my phone, which is on Ingress right now, I can get my phone and do some semblance of coordinated thumb movements. And then at some point, whether it's 3 days, 3 months, 3 years, whatever, a POI will show up there that I can walk over and interact with. I can get gifts from it. I can get prizes from it. Like, there's no other game that I play that I can have agency where I can do that. And so what I want to do, what I want to commit to people out there is, if you need help, hit me up, right? Hit me up. Hit us up. WasteWaters@PokemonProfessor.com. Email us, right? Call the hotline, 704-426-3710. You know, we're on TikTok.
Yep.
We're on Instagram. We're not hard to find. If you need
help. No, we're not.
If you need help, we're on YouTube. Yeah. Now, we don't have a cool little YouTube thing yet. We still have all those like letters and numbers. So I'll wait till we get, I think it's 100 subscribers, and then we get our name. So I'll wait till we get that. But we're not hard to find. Chris is a big, tall, redheaded dude with a beard, and he lives in Canada. If you see him, he's not hard to find. And me, I'd like to think I'm a pretty good looking guy, right? You know, I haven't shaved in a couple days, so I got kind of the salt and pepper thing going on. And I'm not really humble. I'm wearing a shirt with my face on it. So I kind of love me some me. And I'll just say this. I'll just say this. If you see me, I won't speak for Chris. If you see me on the mean streets of New York in August, come up and find me. And do what Sea Princess did. Sea Princess walked up to me and she put her finger in my chest and said, "Jamal, you're wrong." And I'm like, "Hi, I'm Jamal. You must be Sea Princess." She's like, "Oh yeah, yeah." But do that. Like, that's seriously. Amazing. Like,
yeah.
Absolutely. Oh no, in Seattle. She walked right up to me and put her finger right in my chest. And I'm like, I was actually kind of intimidated and kind of scared. And I'm like, "Oh, Sea Princess. Oh, it's good." I was like, some woman is going to take me out and it's probably not going to be pretty. But yeah, come find me. I'm just a dude. Come find me.
100%. Come find us in New York. We'll talk. We would love to talk to anybody. I'm super excited to go. I can't wait. But yeah, like it's not about doing this stuff for Niantic. We're not doing it for Niantic. We're doing it for the community, right? And that's why we do this show. That's why we do what we do, to help the community. And I think that's kind of all I have to say on the matter right now.
Last thing before we go to break, I do, I know we say this a lot, but I do want to shout out the ambassadors who are doing a bang up job. If you talk about somebody who's doing something selfless, like you and I, we got our faces on the internet. They are doing so much work behind the scenes that the average wayfinder, the average trainer, the average agent has no idea that the ambassadors are putting in the amount of work they're putting in. So I want to shout out to the ambassadors who are doing everything so cool. We appreciate you. So I want to make sure I shout you guys out.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're all over the forums and they're doing a ton of work behind the scenes. And I'm sure they're hard at work as we're recording this, trying to figure out all the details for the next challenge in Spain too. So, yeah, we love you ambassadors and we love you Niantic Wayfarer team.
And the Wayfarer team, let's just say this, the Wayfarer team is killing it. People can complain about Niantic. They can complain about everything that Niantic does, but there's no one I think that can complain about the Wayfarer team. The Wayfarer team is on those forums. They might not be on Twitter, which is probably the smartest thing that they're doing, but they're on the forums, whether it's Tintino or whoever it is, they are on the forums answering questions. And the way that I know that is because in our Discord, we have a little thing that says, "What did Niantic say?" So anytime they put something on the forum, I get an alert and I can go and read it, and they are killing it.
Yes, they are. Yeah. And we're trying to work behind the scenes with a couple of them to work on some exciting stuff. So we'll keep everybody posted. That's all I can say.
Yeah. You want to go to break?
Yes. Let's go take a 5-minute break. I need to get some water and then we'll come back. You can listen to some dad jokes while we're in the break. And then we've got Waste Spot of the Week, a couple Coles of the Week, and we'll let you have your Sunday back. Awesome. So let's roll the break and we'll be right back.
All right. Roll the break. We'll see you.
Hi, this is Course Leo, and you're listening to the Waste Spotters Podcast.
And now, the latest Niantic news from the Waste Spotters Podcast, presented by the Pokemon Professor Network.
Ugh, get some better jokes already. It's season two.
What do you call an angry musician flipping someone off? A songbird. What did Tennessee? The same thing as Arkansas. My wife asked me to go get 6 cans of Sprite from the grocery store. I realized when I got home, I picked 7 up. I once wrote a song about a tortilla, but it's actually more of a rap. I used to be addicted to soap, but I'm clean now. Did you know that milk is the fastest liquid on Earth? It's pasteurized before you can even see it. Did you hear about the fire at the circus? It was intense.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the dad jokes this week. Hilarious as always. You'll find them on YouTube Shorts and TikTok. This week's Way Spot of the Week, so we're going to jump right into that, comes to us from Maddie G in the Pokemon Professor Discord, friend of the show.
Friend of the show, Maddie G.
And this is a mural of Frankenstein painted by a local artist, Joshua Stout. It's called You Are Electric. And it's a side view of Frankenstein on the side of a building. It's a purple background. You can see lightning bolts coming off of his head.
Wait a minute. Yellow lightning bolts. Are we inferring that Frankenstein is Team Instinct? Is that what I'm getting? Is that the vibes I'm getting here?
I think if Frankenstein were to be a Pokemon Go player, he would 100% be Team Instinct.
All right, just checking.
He would be all about that Zapdos. But yeah, it's a beautiful mural on the side of a building. It's painted. It's got so much detail in his hair, in his skin, in his features, in his facial features. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture of Frankenstein. And the description is, "You Are Electric," mural painted by local NCH artist Joshua Stout. So Joshua Stout, fantastic job. Really
fantastic
good job.
Fantastic job. Really good job. Good stuff. And thank you, Maddie G, for sending that in to us.
Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful. Gorgeous Waste Spot of the Week.
Now, Chris, we're about to do a Coal of the Week. Let's go ahead and play that trailer for Coal of the Week, the sounder. I love it. You know what I love even better than the sounder is what comes up on the video version with the picks.
That's awesome. Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and play the sounder.
I've been working on the Wayfair all the livelong day. I've been working on the Wayfair just to pass the... Uh-oh. Oh, no. Hey, Jamal, I found some coal.
All right, Coal of the Week number one. You want me to take number one or you want me to take number two?
You take number one.
All right. Coal of the Week number one. As I pull it up on the screen. There we go. Coal of the Week number one comes to us from another friend of the show, Woodwolves Wolf, who does work with the Sylph Science. He's a Sylph scientist and he's an OSM expert. And if you need help with OSM, reach out to Woodwolves Wolf. He taught me a whole lot. And you can go back and listen to, I believe it was episode 10, where Woodwolves Wolf was with us and talked about that. And like we said before, we need to get him back on the show. But back to Coal of the Week. All right. So Coal of the Week, what you were looking at, it is called the John Cherry Mural. And the description is, this mural was born 2 years ago. The year was 2021. Okay. All right. Now, what it looks like is a wall in a residential home. There's a clock, and then there's a heart inside of a box, and then there's something below the clock. My eyes are bad. I think it says laugh, but it looks to be inside of a residential home. And then when you scroll down and look at the map, it looks very much to be in a residential home. So I think this, Chris, is the definition of Coal of the Week.
Yeah, absolutely. It is definitely someone's picture on a wall. I don't even know what to say about this one.
I don't either. It's cool.
It's definitely cool.
So yeah, if we are being true to ourselves, it's in a residential home. It's on someone's wall. And it actually is private property.
Yep.
Cool.
Cool. 100% cool.
And last thing, supporting information says, we need to accept this because of the following, it meets all criteria. Don't reject the Pokestop or else I'm not going to spin it. It's bad English, no matter what country you speak English in. And I don't even know what to say about that. So, does that say Cheryl? C-H-E-R-Y-L. So, hello, Cheryl in Gainesville, Georgia.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, John. not eligible. Sorry about your luck.
All right. What do we got for coal number two?
Coal number two is... Can you see that? There we go. Coal number two, it features a picture of my... This has a whole bunch wrong with it. This is the sign for a local high school, which, first off, high school, not eligible. It's taken from a car. The window is up. You can see the part of the car in it. I can't see the title, but the description is, this was standing during the November 30 Oxford High School shooting, and coming back to school, people laid flowers to honor the four kids that died. Very sad.
Very sad.
Very sad.
Probably not the best suggestion for a POI. Maybe.
No.
But if it's done tastefully, but this is like tilted to the side, the same picture in the main is the same picture in the supplemental, like, it kind of misses the mark for me.
And if it was an actual memorial for that incident, then sure, 100%. Then, you know, it's on high school grounds, so it's ineligible. But an actual memorial would be different than just the high school sign.
Most definitely.
And it almost looks like they didn't even put any effort into the picture either. They just kind of stopped, snapped the picture, and then drove off.
When I first looked at it, it was almost like, was the car moving a little bit? Or
It might have been. And yeah, it's so much wrong with this one.
Don't do this. If you want to do a memorial for someone that's passed away, or a sad or a joyous incident, like, do it justice. Go out, get out of the car. Wait, if it's not too far, get out of your car. Heard somebody say that before. Get out of your car. Go over, snap a picture, make sure it's level. Don't make the trees look like they're coming out of the side of the earth at an angle. Yep. It's just weird.
Yeah.
Not good all the way around.
Cool.
So, yeah. All right. I think we did it.
That's it.
Yeah, I think we did it. I think we talked at the people enough. It's Sunday, for God's sakes, right?
All right. So thank you, everyone, for listening and watching to this episode of Wastewaters. We can't have an episode without a huge shout out and a big thanks to our executive producer, Caitlin Cons. We appreciate you. Keep those codes coming. I will get to level 10 in Ingress one of these days, I promise. And I will share it with you when I do. If you enjoy what you hear, there are a few ways that you can show us. First, follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, and on TikTok, and on YouTube. We are very active on all of the socials. We love interacting with our viewers. So please check us out. You can also rate us and review us on the podcast service that you are currently listening to, Spotify, Anchor FM, Apple, Google, iHeartMedia, and others. If you ask me, 5 stars, always the best stars.
If you can, and leave thank us you for the reviews too. That we received.
Yes. Yes. Thank you very much for the reviews we have been receiving. We love them. We read every single one of them. Next, visit the Wastespotters website, www.wastespotters.com. From there, you can get the links to everywhere. You can download the show. You can send us a message directly from the website or email us at wastespotters@pokemonprofessor.com. You can leave us a voicemail on our hotline, 704-426-3710. You never know, your voicemail may appear on an upcoming episode of the show. You can also tweet us a voice message, record a voice message, and email it to us. We will listen, and we will probably put it on the show at one point, good or bad. As you can see from today, we love all the feedback. Finally, if you're not a member of the Pokemon Professor Network Patreon, you can join for as little as $1 US a month. That's $1.33 Canadian a month. You will have access to the Discord for the entire family of shows across the Pokemon Professor Network, including Wastespotters, Special Conditions, Gotta Watch Them All, Purified Podcast, and Lured Up. It is a fantastic Discord, fantastic place filled with fantastic people, and we are very active. With that, we look forward to you listening and watching next week. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that like button. Make sure to subscribe. Thank you for listening to Wastespotters. And remember, it's not that far. Get out of your car. Bye, everybody.